The title of this message is How to Work Out Your Salvation. Philippians 2:12 is where we're going to be, and we're going verse by verse through the book of Philippians. How to Work Out Your Salvation. Now, just the title of that Bible study is, the title of that message, I should say, is kind of weird, if you know much about the Bible, because we know that that salvation is a free gift, that we're saved not by works, but we're saved by grace through faith. But there's a verse in the Bible that we're going to look at tonight that says to work out your salvation. And so tonight we're going to look at that apparent contradiction. How is it that salvation is not by works, and yet the Bible says to work out our salvation? What does that mean, and how do we live that out in our lives? And so the verse is Philippians 2:12. It's just one verse that I wanted to look at tonight. Brief message. It says, therefore, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So I want to give you four insights on this verse. And part of what this will do is help you understand and help you learn how to read the Bible whenever you come across a weird verse or verse that's kind of puzzling. How do you figure out what that verse is supposed to mean? The first thing that I wanted to point out, first insight, is that this verse does not mean that salvation is by good works. So it says, work out your own salvation. It doesn't mean that salvation is by good works. How do we know that? Well, first of all, it doesn't say to work for your salvation, does it? It says to work out your salvation. It doesn't say work for your salvation. It doesn't say earn your salvation. It says work out your salvation with fear and trembling. As well, we know from elsewhere in Scripture that the Bible says very clearly that salvation is not by works. And what I mean by that, salvation is not by good deeds. So we've all sinned, and the Bible says that the punishment for sin is hell. Okay, so how do we get to heaven? How do we make up for this problem, our sin problem? Well, there's two ways. Number one, or two theories. Number one, you can atone for your sins by doing good works. In other words, you can try to overcome all the bad things you've done by doing lots and lots of good things. You can atone or pay for, that's what the word atone means, you can pay for your sins by doing a lot of good deeds. But we know that the Bible says you can't do that. It's not how it works. The Bible says salvation is not by good works. It's by grace, which means it's a free gift through faith. You receive it through faith, not by earning it, not by atoning for your sins. So the best verse for that is Ephesians 2:8 through 9. This is a verse a lot of children learn because it's so important to understanding salvation. It says, for you are saved by grace, that means a free gift, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. Another verse is Titus 3:4 through 5. It says, but when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to His mercy through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. So salvation is not by works. So that's how we know. So when you see a verse like this one where it says, work out your salvation, okay, you have to read that verse in the context of the entire Bible, okay? Do other verses in the Bible say that you need to work out your salvation? Well, no, if you read other verses in the Bible, they clearly say, no, salvation is not by works. So we know that this verse in Philippians 2:12 can't mean salvation is by works. It has to mean something else, okay? And we know very clearly the Bible says we're saved by faith, Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, number two, second insight about this verse. So we just the first one, just to review, we know that this doesn't mean that we're saved by good works. It doesn't say to work for your salvation. It says to work out your salvation. And we know elsewhere in Scripture, it says very clearly, salvation is not by works, it's by faith. So number two, second insight, is that this can be seen as a command to make sure that our salvation is real. Make sure that your salvation is real. In other words, we're trying to figure out, what does Paul mean by work out your salvation? And one of the things it can mean is make sure that your salvation is real. Make sure that your salvation is genuine. Make sure that you're really saved. Don't just assume it. Make sure it's real. Let me show you a couple of verses that talk about this. 2 Peter 1:10. It says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, because if you do these things, you will never stumble. It says, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. In other words, do whatever you have to do to make sure that your salvation is real, that you're actually going to heaven, that you have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't just take it for granted. Don't just assume it just because your mom and dad, just because your dad's the pastor, just because you go to church every Sunday, just because you know a lot about the Bible. Don't just assume that you're going to heaven. Don't just assume that you're saved. You need to make every effort to confirm it." And then there's another verse that talks about something similar. 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Notice this one. It says, "Test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you yourselves not recognize that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you fail the test?" So it says to test yourselves, examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. So again, don't take your salvation for granted. So when Paul says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, one of the things that he could mean, one of the things that he could be talking about is make sure that your salvation is real. Now, how do you do that? Let me give you a couple of ways. First of all, be sure that you're trusting in Jesus, in what Jesus has done for you for your salvation, and not in your own good works. Make sure you're trusting in the good work that Jesus did for you on the cross and not in your own good works. Again, this is the heart of the gospel. We're sinners. We deserve to go to hell. And so God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to pay the penalty for us. And then he rose again from the grave. And now if we put our faith in Jesus and what he did for us, we can be saved. So the key is don't put your faith in your own good works. The whole idea of putting your faith in Jesus, that means I'm not going to put faith in myself. When you decide I'm going to trust in Jesus, you're supposed to be making the simultaneous decision, I'm not going to be trusting in myself. In other words, the best way, and you'll hear me at Church Kitty, and I say this all the time, the best way to understand if you understand the gospel is with this question: why should God let you into heaven? How you answer that question determines whether or not you understand the gospel. Why should God let you into heaven? So let's say you die, and you wake up, and you stand before, let's say, this gate, and the gates of heaven, and there's somebody standing there. Let's say it's Jesus. And Jesus says, "Why should I let you into heaven?" Your answer, think about what your answer would be. Why should I let you into heaven? Now, if your answer is, "Well, I tried to be a really good Christian." Or if your answer is, "Well, I tried to live my life by the Ten Commandments." Or if your answer was, "Well, listen, I've been a part of church my whole life. My dad was the preacher. My mom played the piano. And we were there every Sunday. And I was in Bible drill. And I have so much of the Bible memorized." And you're going down the wrong path. What you're doing is you're showing that you're trusting in your good works to atone for your sins. You're trusting that your good works, your religiosity, is what's going to earn you a place in heaven. And Jesus is going to be like, "Oh, I didn't realize you were such a wonderful person. Come on in." That's not the way it works. Instead, whenever you stand before Christ, he says, "Why should I let you into heaven?" Your answer should be, "Because you paid for my sins on the cross, Jesus. And when I was 7 years old, when I was 20 years old, when I was 15 years old, I decided to put my faith in you as my Lord and Savior. You paid for my sins." And so make sure, in order to make sure that your salvation is real, make sure you're trusting in the good work that Jesus did for you and not in your own good works to go to heaven. All right? You're trusting in Jesus. Here's another way to make sure that you're saved. Make sure that you're trusting in Jesus as your Lord and not just your Savior. Make sure that you're trusting in Jesus as the leader of your life and not just your Savior. There are a lot of people in Acadiana, just about everybody that I know of in Acadiana believes in Jesus, just like they believe in Abraham Lincoln and just like they believe in Donald Trump. They believe in him. That doesn't mean they're a devoted follower. You know, I know a lot of people at work, where I work, that believe in Donald Trump, but they hate his guts. All right, so just because you believe in Jesus, you believe he was real, you believe he died on the cross, you believe he rose again, all you have is mental assent to a bunch of doctrinal facts. That's not what we're talking about. To believe in Jesus means you're trusting in him as your Savior, that he paid for your sins, and so it's his sacrifice that's going to save you. You're also trusting in him as the leader of your life. You're saying, come in, Jesus, into my life. Take the steering wheel of my life, and you be in charge. And so if you've done that, you should notice two things. You should notice that you're growing in obedience gradually, not perfection, but progression. You should be progressing. If you've actually asked Jesus to be your Savior and your Lord, and you should also notice a desire to do God's will, a desire to overcome sin, a discomfort in your heart whenever you live in sin. You should notice, this is, yeah. Does sin feel good? Yeah, sin feels good sometimes. But you should have this desire in your heart. I don't want to keep living like that, though. I want to do God's will. I want to please my Savior. And so if you don't notice those things in your heart, something's wrong. 1 John 1:6 says, if we say we have fellowship with him and yet we walk in darkness, we're lying and not practicing the truth. In other words, if you say that you're a Christian but you keep walking in sin, then something's not right. It could be that you're not actually saved. Again, this is not about perfection. We all sin and you will continue to struggle with sin your whole life. But this is about, you should have this desire to grow and you should notice this growth. So make sure that you've asked Jesus to be your Lord, not just your Savior. Another way to make sure that your salvation is real is to make sure that you've actually invited Jesus into your heart. To become a Christian, again, it's not just about believing things about Jesus. It's about actually asking. Jesus is a real person. He's here. The Spirit of Christ is in this room right now. It's pretty cool. To become a Christian, though, you have to invite him into your... He's in my heart. You have to invite him into your heart. That's the only way you can become a Christian, right? And you're listening? To become a Christian, you have to invite Jesus into your heart. You have to say, Jesus, come into my heart. All right? It's not enough just to believe in him. You got to say, Jesus, I want you to come in my heart and be my Savior and my Lord. Romans 10:13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so to become a Christian, there has to be some point in your life where you say, Jesus, come and be my Savior. Come into my life and save me. Okay? So when Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, one of the things that he could be talking about is make sure that your salvation is real. Make sure that you're actually going to heaven, because you don't know if this day could be your last. Make sure you're going to heaven. It's more important than anything else in this life. Make sure you're going to heaven. Make sure you have a real relationship with Jesus. The third insight that I wanted to give you about Philippians 2:12 is that this can also be seen, and this is probably the main idea behind this verse, work out your salvation. Probably the main thrust of this verse is a command to grow, a command to grow to maturity as a Christian. When he says, work out your salvation, he's commanding us to grow, to get serious about spiritual growth. And you have to remember that that your salvation can be broken down into three different big words. Really, past salvation in the past tense, salvation in the present tense, salvation in the future tense. Follow me for a second. This is going somewhere. But salvation in the past tense is called justification. And justification is what happens to you the moment you become a Christian. God declares you legally righteous in his sight. That word justified, it means just as if I'd never sinned. Just as if I'd never sinned. It's a legal term. God is declaring you legally righteous. That means that when you get saved, from then on, like if you die and stand before the throne of God, he's not going to condemn you or punish you. You're saved. You're forgiven. That's what justification. It happens the moment you get saved. It's just a one-time thing, but it lasts forever. Okay, that's salvation in the past tense. Then salvation in the future tense is called glorification. And that's salvation in the future tense because glorification is what's going to happen to you whenever Jesus comes back. One day Jesus is coming back, and one of the things that he's going to do right when he comes back is if you're a Christian, he's going to give you a new glorified body, a brand new body, completely free from sin and imperfections and sickness and anything bad. He's going to give you this new glorified body. That's why it's called glorification. That will last, and it'll last for eternity. That's not going to happen until Jesus comes back. So that's salvation in the future tense. Justification is salvation in the past tense. And then sanctification is salvation in the present tense. Sanctification. Sanctification is our gradual growth in Christ. And it happens the moment you become a Christian is when it starts. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you when you become a Christian. And he begins growing you gradually more and more like Christ in your character, your conduct, and your convictions in every way. So when Paul says, work out your salvation, he can't be talking about justification, salvation in the past tense, because that's in the past, and you can't work for that. It's a free gift. He can't be talking about work out your glorification. That's salvation in the future tense. That's not something you do. That's something that happens to you, that Jesus does to you whenever he comes back. So when he says, work out your salvation, he has to be talking about salvation in the present tense, your sanctification. He has to be saying, work out your spiritual growth. God is trying to grow you. You need to work with God in that process. And that's what we know about spiritual growth. Spiritual growth, becoming more like Christ, is a command. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're supposed to be serious about our spiritual growth as Christians. And we know that salvation or that spiritual growth is a partnership. Only God can grow you. But God will only grow you if you're doing what you need to do to grow. Only God can grow you, but God will only grow you if you're doing what you need to do. Here's what I've seen over the years as a Christian, what I've come to believe. If you're a Christian, if you're truly saved, God is going to grow you. You can't resist it. But the thing is, the growth comes a lot easier and quicker and more if you work together with the Holy Spirit. In other words, that's why there are some Christians that grow, they become a Christian, and they grow really fast, and they become spiritual giants. I mean, it's just like so much faith and love and joy in their life, and God is really using them. But other Christians, they're Christians, they know Christ, but they just seem stuck. I heard a pastor say they're paused in spiritual puberty. They never really grow. They're growing, but it's just so slow. And it's because this person who's really growing, they're working with the Holy Spirit. This person is not. They're not doing anything. And so God is doing all the work. And so it's like a farmer. You're like a farmer. When it comes to farming, really the miracle of growth can only be caused by God. But if a farmer gets involved and does what he's supposed to do, he does the watering and the pesticide and the fertilizer and the irrigation and all this stuff right, then he can have a huge harvest of growth, right? And so even if the farmer doesn't do anything except for just throw some seeds out, there's going to be some growth. But if the farmer does what he should, is very skilled and very intentional and methodical and determine, he can have a huge harvest of growth. Same with us. God will grow you, but if you want to grow fast, and if you want to grow a lot, if you really want to grow in the faith, you've got to get involved. And of course, that's where obedience, going to church, reading your Bible, praying, memorizing Scripture, learning Scripture, fellowship with other believers, all those things come into play. That's how you grow, all those different disciplines that we're always talking about. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says something similar. 2 Corinthians 7:1, it says, therefore, dear friends, since we have such promises, let us cleanse ourselves from every impurity of the flesh and spirit, completing our sanctification in the fear of God. So, your sanctification starts the moment you get saved. But we're commanded to complete it. In other words, we're commanded to work on it. Work with the Holy Spirit. When it comes to your spiritual growth, you have to believe that it all depends on God, but you have to work like it all depends on you. I mean, you have to get so serious about the fight against sin and about the fight to grow. Okay? Let me give you one more insight about Philippians 2:12 before we close. One more insight, a fourth insight. So far, what we've said about Philippians 2:12 is that when Paul says, work out your salvation, he can't mean that salvation is something you need to work for, that salvation is something you need to earn with good works. Can't mean that. We've already talked about that. He could be talking about making sure that you're saved. When he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, make sure that your salvation is real. A third thing he could be saying is probably what he's saying mostly is grow. Work on your sanctification, your salvation in the present tense. One more insight is that this is a command to work on your salvation with fear and trembling. Did y'all notice that? Philippians 2:12. Let me read it to you again. It says, therefore, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What's he talking about? The word fear, the Bible commands us to fear the Lord, to be a God-fearing woman, God-fearing man, a God-fearing boy or girl. That means to have the deepest respect for God. And then that word trembling, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, has to do with terror and fright. So on the one hand, we're supposed to, what Paul, who wrote this, is getting at is the motive, our motive for working out our salvation. There's two motives. Number one, it's fear. Number two, trembling. Fear, we're working on our salvation out of deep respect for God. He loves us. He's awesome. He saved us. He deserves our spiritual growth, doesn't he? After all that he's done for us. So because we respect who he is and what he's done, we're going to make sure that our salvation is secure. We're going to make sure that we're growing in Christ because we respect him. We love him. He's good. But then we're also going to work out our salvation out of trembling, knowing that if our salvation is not real, we will have to face the wrath of God one day. Or knowing that if we are a Christian, but we're not working on our salvation, we're not serious about our spiritual growth, I should say, that we will have to face the discipline of God. You know, God spanks his children. He's a good father. He's not a permissive father. When God's children, if you're truly a child of God and you're a wayward child, he's not just going to let you go your way. He's going to spank you. And so you should tremble at the thought that if you're not truly saved, you're going to have to face the wrath of God, eternal hell. And if you are saved, but you're not serious about your spiritual growth, about your Christian life, you will have to face the disciplining hand of your Heavenly Father. And that's not fun. And God doesn't want to spank you any more than your earthly daddy would want to spank you. There's a verse in Matthew 10:28. Jesus said, Matthew 10:28, he said, don't fear those who kill the body but are not able to kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Fear God. Fear God. So let me wrap this up with just a reminder of what we learned. Work out your salvation. Don't work for it, work it out. That means make sure it's real. And then make sure you're growing. Focus on your spiritual growth and do it because you respect the Lord. Don't do it. Don't work on your spiritual growth to earn your salvation. Do it because you've been saved. And out of gratitude, out of respect, and also do it out of trembling, knowing that God will discipline you if you're not serious about your spiritual life.